next on Packers Today.
I obviously didn't have our team ready to play.
We need to tackle better. We need to play with better energy.
We're just ready to move on to the next week. We're ready to get to Sunday.
The Packers have owned their loss at the Broncos and are ready to move forward. But the task at hand gets no easier.
End zone. Colson got it. Touchdown. Carolina Panthers.
The Packers will face an offense led by a true dual-threat quarterback in Cam Newton and an attacking defense that thrives on turnovers.
Pass the ball once, twice, guns it, intercepted, picked off by the Panthers.
Stinging from their loss to the Broncos 1 week ago, can the Packers find their spark offensively and get back to their winning ways? Larry and I preview Packers versus Panthers next on Packers Today.
The name of the game is all about winning, and I think we'll bounce back and we'll have a good performance.
It's not really about knocking off a 7-0 team. It's about going out and getting a win.
Top 1-3, 1-2-3, hey!
Welcome and thank you for joining us on Packers Today, presented by Verizon. I'm Lauren Najera, joined by Larry McCarron. The season's first loss never feels good, but the Packers still hold a one-game lead in the division. And Larry, at 6-1, the Packers are still in great position.
All their hopes, dreams, and aspirations are still alive.
We're good.
The last team to go undefeated in the NFL, the 72 Dolphins. Things are okay.
It is a little bit early to be talking about playoffs, but riding the ship against Carolina would not only draw their records even, it would also give the Packers a tiebreak advantage, should it come to that. But then again, there's a lot of football left to be played. Larry, including today, 8 of the Packers' last 9 games are against NFC foes. What stands out to you when looking at the rest of the schedule?
Much of the season is yet to be determined. The only thing the Packers can control right now is their effort and their quality of play against the Panthers, all anybody should be concerned with.
Now, historically speaking, this team really bounces back after a major loss. The last time they had back-to-back losses was in 2013, but if you can remember, that was when Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone. So really, the last time the Packers lost back-to-back games with Aaron Rodgers as their starting quarterback was in 2010. Now, Larry, you're around this team more than anyone. What did you pick up from these guys this past week?
Actually, it was business as usual. The guys move on a lot quicker than anybody else. They have to. I think that tone gets started with the head coach. I was around Mike McCarthy some on Monday, and this is less than 24 hours after a very disappointing loss. Mike was not down. He was determined. And to put this in historical perspective, the last time the Packers played a real stinker, in my estimation, in New Orleans last season, 44-23, didn't play well at all. The next week, they come back and play the Chicago Bears, beat them 55-14. The next week, they hammer the Eagles 53-20. This team, this culture, has a way to bounce back.
And I think this Carolina game is going to be a bounce back similar to those you mentioned.
I'm all for it.
Well, Larry, not much to take away from the Broncos' loss, but there is a guy that you've had your eye on these past couple of weeks who really seems to be coming on.
Yeah, you're talking about Dayton Jones, and Dayton has always been a good athlete, but now he's a good athlete that's developing moves and technique.
Last game, watch the club with the left hand and the swim over with the right. That is tough stuff. And it beats the blocker cold and leads to no gain for Ronnie Hillman.
I see him over lunging. He comes out too aggressive. See it swim right over him and make the play for a loss.
Charger game. Dayton uses his hands to keep the blocker's hands off of him. It's right, left, and around the corner. Next stop, Phillip Rivers.
Time to snap, get off the ball, club, slap, rip, around the edge, get on top of my guy, and Phillip Rivers flushed right on out, came from right behind, made the play.
Rams game. Watch Dayton's right arm. That's called a rip move, and it takes him through not one, but two blockers. No sack, but we'll take a pressure that leads to a pick six anytime.
anytime you're able to, you know, to be the one to cause the interception, you know, it's always great. You see the guy running for a touchdown, just an emotional play.
Lauren, one of the best parts of my job is watching young guys come in and grow and develop in their jobs, and that's what we're seeing with Dayton Jones.
It really does seem like every other defensive play called is Dayton Jones' name all over it.
The guy is showing up.
Still to come, Packers today.
Newt, end zone, right side, Billy Brown, touchdown!
They're getting it cranked up right about now.
Pass or run, Cam Newton presents many challenges to a defense. There is a flaw in Superman's game. Larry's scouting report is coming up next. And later...
throws end zone, diving grab, touchdown! It's Richard Rodgers!
The Packers are one of the league's youngest teams, but also one of the best. Larry and I will zero in and talk more about Green Bay's young ascending talent. Packers Today, presented by Verizon. We'll be right back.
Started right, cuts it back left, outside the hash mark. Rodgers rolling right, throws the right side. Randall Cobb, right side, wide open. Got his man, Devontae Adams, to the end zone. 10-5. Touchdown, 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 Green Bay. And a dagger.
I got to disagree with you, Wayne. I thought the dagger might have occurred today at the coin toss.
Week 7 last year, the Packers played host to the Carolina Panthers. An impressive performance by the Packers as they scored touchdowns on their first three possessions. And by halftime, we're up 28-3. Rodgers finished the day with 255 yards passing and three touchdowns, good for a quarterback rating of 154.5. The Packers beat Carolina 38-17. The Carolina Panthers are 7-0 for the first time in team history, thanks in large part to the play of quarterback Cam Newton. Now, it's worth mentioning that Cam is the first quarterback in history to start a career with four consecutive seasons of 3,000-plus passing yards and 500-plus rushing yards. His unique ability is a tall order for any defense to prepare for. Here's Larry with this week's scouting report presented by the Better Business Bureau.
Mike McCarthy joked this week that preparing for Cam Newton might take having Julius Peppers play quarterback on the scout team. Newton's 6'5", 250-pound frame, however, is no joke.
You know, you're a willing tackler. But Cam Newton, he's like almost as big as Julius. I mean,
right, yeah, he got the same size.
You're a willing tackler, but how do you get a dude like that down?
Gang tackle.
Newton is hitting set!
The chink in Newton's armor, accuracy. His 54.2 completion percentage ranks 32nd. But he does have a cannon for an arm.
Newton from a clean pocket, end zone, Olsen, got it, touchdown, Carolina Panthers.
He's the best quarterback we're going to play this week. He's a huge weapon for him, and it's going to be a huge challenge.
Be it Newton or featured back Jonathan Stewart, the Panthers.
Running free, Stewart 25, 30.
And you can take this to the bank.
Newton keeps his balance, has the first down.
Are going to run the ball. They keep it on the ground over 50% of the time, the highest rate in the league. And when it comes to rushing yards, they also rank number one.
We aim to make the offense one-dimensional, and that, you know, we want to take the run away, make them a passing offense. So that's where it starts, and that's every week and every game. That's the main thing we want to do. So we got a challenge this week with this team, because they run the ball.
They also take it away. And are a top five club in that category. The heart and soul of Carolina's defense, Luke Kuechly. Their all-pro middle linebacker is hard to get a hat on. And if you don't, he will make the tackle.
Hit right away and drop. Luke Kuechly almost intercepted the handoff.
He's always able to read the play, you know, get to that edge on you, on a lineman, before they can get there. So that's what makes him one of the best in the biz.
Actually, Carolina is blessed with impact players on all three levels. Up front, it's K1 Short. And in the back end, Josh Norman. Net result, the stingiest opponent QB rating in the league, 64.5.
They got some beasts at linebacker. You know, they got a
heavy front, and they got some guys that are good in their secondary as well. So when you combine all that, it's going to, you know, give quarterbacks a little bit of help.
Last year, the Packers' recipe was a fast start, score in bunches, really make Cam and the Panthers' offense one-dimensional. Now, it worked then. This is a totally different Panthers team. Is it really realistic that the Packers can have that same approach?
Well, Lauren, if the Packers take a 28-3 lead at Carolina, I will personally jump out of the stadium, go downstairs, jump on the black cat they got parked outside, and scream and yell, "Get loud, Lambo." It would be wonderful to think it's going to go that way and that swell, but the Carolina Panthers are a better team this year than they were last, and the Green Bay Packers are kind of trying to find their way a little bit, and it's at their place, so it looks like a tougher game.
I'm going to hold you to that promise. I really like that.
I'll rip my shirt off.
Painting that picture for us is beautiful. Yeah. I can't wait to see that.
No, it'd be cool. Go to Carolina. You'll see it. Promise. 28-3, halftime.
All right. Now, the Panthers are playing really efficiently in all three phases, so I'm curious to see what kind of head-to-head matchups you're going to be looking at today.
I really like one up front, and that is Josh Sutton versus Kaywin Short. Both are impact players. Josh, as a blocker, that's what he is. He has an impact on games, and Short's the same way for the Panthers. Should be classic up front.
That's interesting, but I'm curious to find out what you think about Olsen.
Greg Olsen is the best receiver they've got, Cam Newton's go-to guy, and the Packers will have to do a good job on him. And that will fall to linebackers and safeties. You don't want a linebacker one-on-one with them. You need safety help over the top. And it's not going to be this guy just against Olsen. It depends on the Packers' coverage. But the Packers have to contain him. It's one of those deals, probably not going to stop him. Got to contain him.
Still to come.
Smith flushed right away. And sack! Oh, my goodness! J-Roll Elliott!
Larry and I focus on the young guys playing key roles for the Packers, and we'll look at the guys on the verge of taking the next step, including receiver Jeff Janis and linebacker Jake Ryan. And later, a victory in Super Bowl 31 was a crowning achievement in Ron Wolf's illustrious career, but for him, there's a memory even sweeter than that. Packers Today is back after this timeout. Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon. Year in and year out, the Packers are one of the league's youngest teams. Currently, the Packers have 24 players on their active roster that are 24 years of age or younger. It's one thing to be young. It's another to be young and good. The Packers consistently do both. Corey Linsley, a fifth-round draft pick in 2014, has started every game of his career at center, including not missing a snap. Receiver Devontae Adams set franchise single-game records in the postseason last year with 7 receptions for 117 yards against Dallas. Second-year tight end Richard Rodgers is second on the team this season with 23 receptions. Defensively, HaHa Clinton-Dix, the Packers' first-round draft pick in 2014, leads the team this year with 55 tackles and is the only player to have played every snap on defense this season. Good play extends beyond the draft. Linebacker J-Roan Elliott and defensive tackle Mike Pennell have made significant contributions through the team's first 7 games. A couple headliners from this year's rookie class, corners Demarius Randall and Quentin Rollins. Randall has made 2 starts and is tied for the team lead with 9 passes defense. And Rollins has made 2 interceptions, including returning 1 for a touchdown. Larry, the Packers are young, and they're good at being young. Now, what really stood out to me about Corey Linsley is the kid hasn't missed a single snap in his young career. You played 162 straight games, so you know what it's like to show up every day and really put your body through that. What impresses you about Corey?
How many did you say?
162. It's quite impressive.
Well, that explains a lot. All those issues I was wondering about, now I know where they came from.
It's all coming together.
I'll tell you what, because of my background, I take an offensive lineman showing up for work every week. I take that for granted. The thing I love about Corey, he's a heck of a football player. He's strong, he's quick, he's smart. I think the Green Bay Packers have a real good center for a real long time ahead of them.
On the other side of the ball, HaHa Clinton Dix hasn't come off the field this defense this season. With that, how have you seen HaHa's game develop from year one to year two?
Well, I think certainly HaHa has a better understanding of the big picture. Now, his game is putting the wood to people, hitting people. And he leads the Packers in tackles. And I think his better understanding leads to more comfort and allows him to play more aggressively. And he's putting the wood to people.
I mentioned Demaryius Randall and Quentin Rollins earlier. Now, those two really suggest that Ted Thompson and staff really got it right with that dynamic duo.
Oh, they certainly got it right with those guys. There hasn't been a game this year where Randall hasn't done something where I think to myself, that young fella is a player. And the thing about it, he can run on the outside, but it'll also hit people. He's a tough nut. And Rollins, he's making plays already. And Warren, we're talking about a guy that played 1 year of college football. It's all in front of him.
Rookie linebacker Jake Ryan contributing mostly on special teams, but how do you see his progression coming along? Does he have it there?
That's kind of an interesting point because during the preseason, I kind of made the decision with Jake Ryan. He shows up more in games than he does in practice, and coincidentally enough, he gets a couple snaps in the Broncos game, and the first plays in there, he makes a tackle. I think he's on schedule and so forth. We'll see how much of a contribution he gets to make as the season wears on.
Another guy from this year's draft class who's shown a few bright flashes, receiver Ty Montgomery. I love that he's really growing into this offense. Do you see the same thing?
Well, I hope Ty Montgomery gets 100% healthy in the near future, maybe today, but I don't know. But the thing I like about Ty is his run after the catch ability. He is physical, not to mention what he brings to the Packers as a kick returner. That's something special.
Second-year man Jeff Janis, we haven't seen a whole lot of him yet, but we know he's fast. Why not just throw him out there and see what he can come up with?
Well, I know a lot of folks on the street are asking that question, and I think the reason is this. He's a Division II guy from Saginaw Valley State. He is still running raw routes. I mean, there's not a lot of refinement there, and understandably so, but he's a very unique talent with what he brings to the game physically. We've already seen it on special teams, and it's a matter of time. And also what's a matter of time is developing that trust with Aaron Rodgers. Critical for any receiver, Jeff Janis, one of them.
Well, it's proven the Packers do a really good job of bringing in young talent, but I think the coaching staff really doesn't get enough credit for keeping a young team good.
What's the saying, Lauren? Draft and develop. The coaches are in charge of the development, and clearly they're doing a heck of a job.
Coming up next, alumni spotlight with the Packers' newest member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Ron Wolf.
Everybody said this place was dead. This place would never be resurrected.
It was a journey like no other. Ron recalls the Packers' return to glory and what it meant to him. Packers Today will be right back.
Everybody said this place was dead. This place would never be resurrected. There wasn't a better moment for me personally. 1996, when we won the NFC Championship in Lambeau Field.
Edgar Bennett with a hole on the right side that you could drive a truck to the Super Bowl through.
Hey, Green Bay, how about this? Guess where we're going?
I know we went on and won the Super Bowl, but as far as games go, winning that title right here in historic Lambeau Field, to me, that's my biggest thrill here.
Alumni Spotlight built by Tundraland. Resurrecting a franchise, one of the many factors that earned Ron Wolf a gold jacket and a spot among football's finest in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
The architect of the Packers' return to glory, and he was every bit of that. And I agree, the best day, I think, ever in my time with the Green Bay Packers, that NFC Championship game. Now, they went down to New Orleans and won a Super Bowl, but that was here, and the Packers were officially back.
The Packers will honor Ron Wolf during a ceremony at halftime next week when the Packers return to Lambeau to face the Lions. And Larry, just wrapping up here, this Carolina team is healthy. They're well-rounded. What do you think?
You're scaring me.
I'm coming at you with a
what
really
do you say? Do we have a prayer in this thing or what?
Yes, and that's what I want to know. What is going to be the Packers' edge this week?
To be honest, I think the edge comes from self-redemption. There's a whole lot of Packers that are not pleased with the way they played in Denver. And what do? After a bad day at the office, hopefully we come back even harder the next day, determined to make it a good one. I think the Packers have a bunch of folks of that mindset.
All right, let's see it. Check out Packers.com following today's game for live press conferences, locker room reports, and Larry's one-on-one with head coach Mike McCarthy. All that plus your game rewind. For Larry McCarron, I'm Lauren Majera. Thank you for watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon. Enjoy the game.